Hi there, we are James and Dan, two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts. Hi there, we are James and Dan, two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to part two of our conversation with Bill Vakroth about why spirits haunt.
I've come back to the thought I wanted to ask earlier about, we were talking about residual energy after a traumatic event. And obviously all traumatic events do not end in death. And many times we can see sometimes spirits not even reenacting the traumatic event. Sometimes they're just walking up and down a hall or just doing something that really no one would look at and go, wow, that was trauma. But that makes me wonder sometimes with those spirits or the energy that is replaying itself over and over, whatever it may be, could we in fact, does the individual who left that imprint have to die before that energy is seen again as a residual? Or could we in theory haunt ourselves if we were in a situation where something very traumatic happened? And then shortly thereafter, we start noticing some strange things happening around those areas. Maybe not even necessarily, seeing an image of ourselves or something, but just things are off. Energies are doing things. Lights are turning on, turning off where they normally had not been. Things of that nature. Can we stir things up ourselves with our own energy? And then in a way, that energy is still kind of bouncing off the wall like Pong. And we're just kind of becoming victim to what we endured initially, or others stepping in to experience that.
Yeah, that's a really good thought. That's very possible. Like you said, not everything that you see as a residual is a death.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, imprinted on there, and we just have to see it. The time is right. We can see these things. That's a really good point. Maybe our energies have synced up with whatever energy was happening at the time that residual was there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we can see it. A lot of times, as you said, not every residual is death. You see the people walking down the hallway or going up the stairs. It just happened to be. Maybe what they were thinking. Maybe they were having a moment. Maybe we don't know if they were walking up the stairs and they had got some bad news. They were feeling upset. Maybe they were sick, and our energies just have to sync up.
Yeah,
that's part of the mind, because again, it goes back to the mind that we don't know everything about how our mind works and all that. It's a mysterious thing. So that could be part of that too, is that we see things and the part of our mind is triggered that we wouldn't normally see.
Yeah, because it's interesting, especially when you hear about, this old house, and every once in a while you see the woman rocking in the rocking chair, just a generic something.
Right.
And well, was that energy, was that, and if it's not conscious, if she's not really there, was that imprint there? And let's say she moved on to live another 50 years in a different house.
Yeah.
After she left that house and lived those 50 years elsewhere, was that residual not there until the day she died, and somehow that energy returned to that house? Or was that energy there for the next 50 years of the people who lived there, and they thought there's this ghost of this woman rocking in the chair? It turns out it was just Susan, who now lives in, Topeka. but she had a very traumatic experience that night, and rocking in that chair was what helped her kind of get through whatever was going on.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because, you know, that would take something that you'd almost have to recognize the spirit that happened to, so you could say, oh yeah, that's, you know, my sister, my aunt, or the neighbor that lived here. But I don't think that that's a good thought. That's making me think about it. But a lot of times you don't necessarily get the actual recognition of a face to say, oh yeah, that's so and so, until maybe it's too late. That's a good point. Yeah, that's something to think about. Absolutely.
It's something I've been thinking about a lot more and more in the last year. I don't know why. We've seemed to have an increase in stories and accounts that have come in that almost point to the living haunting the living with their own energies. And it's very bizarre. And in doing this for so many years, I can't say I've seen an increase like I have over the last year or two of those sort of things.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is. Yeah. But it's just naturally kind of come in, and it makes me kind of question those sort of things of what control we have over our own energies and what are we doing to ourselves sometimes. I personally, and I've dived into this on our other program, Real Ghost Stories Online, a bit. We've gone through some fairly traumatic things here in our world over the last while. And I have noticed a house that is otherwise very peaceful. It's a new house. I don't really have anything. I don't consider my house haunted by any means. But I have noticed just some weird things of lights kind of turning on by themselves where they shouldn't be, fans flipping. And it could be electricity. It could be the person who installed them just, you know, and I'm getting used to this property. But I've noticed an increase in this fairly traumatic time that me and my daughter are kind of going through right now. And it's just kind of odd. I walk out, I record some shows at night, and I walked into the house the other night and a light in a bedroom that nobody ever goes into is on. And it's like, why did that happen? But nothing else. I don't get weird or scary vibes. It's just more so I'm wondering if my energy, if my anxiety, if all of that is having some sort of an influence. And just kind of doing these little triggers here and there to simple things like a remote control to a fan.
Right. So, you know, let's think about this is maybe our guards are being let down, because as I said earlier, we are getting, as adults and the society, we're getting more exposed to this, mm-hmm. and it's becoming more acceptable. So, you know, children and animals see spirits before adults do,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's kind of out there and pretty much accepted, because they are told that that doesn't exist. The child will see a spirit, and to them, that's just another adult.
Mm-hmm.
And we wonder why, you know, they're talking to grandpa in the corner. You know, we don't see it because they haven't been programmed that that's not a person. So maybe our minds now, since this is getting more mainstream, maybe our minds are starting to go back to accepting it like a child does. So maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago when these things happened, we would just dismiss it. Oh, that's just an electrical thing. That didn't really happen. I didn't really see that. So now we're thinking, you know, maybe it could be. Maybe that is something, someone trying to get a hold of us and letting us know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe our minds are changing. Maybe it was always there, and we just, you know, would tune it out. But now as we're getting older, it's, you know, we're thinking that maybe it is something.
It's interesting. It's almost like a level of, you know, where we thought it was maturity to dismiss those things is beginning to be more and more dismissed. And we're starting to look at it more so from the, I guess, a more open and honest aspect of as a child would, or someone who is closer to the end. And we're more so accepting of these things and not just dismissing them. And maybe some of these things that we've dismissed really are just the reality of how we function, how our energies interact with our environment around us.
Exactly.
Sometimes you had mentioned earlier, you know, spirits will show themselves as children to gain trust. And this is not necessarily your, you know, run of the mill child spirit that we're talking about here, but something that is making itself appear to be something innocent. So we have our instincts going, oh, what can I do to care and help for you? When in reality, it's not a child at all. How do you determine in a relatively timely manner, so you don't get sucked into something that you don't want to be involved with, that what you're dealing with is in fact what it appears to be, a child or something that is not at all?
So if that goes more to a feeling of something that's going on, if it doesn't feel right, like I believe that your senses will tell you, right? If you see a dog and you can kind of tell, is it a friendly dog? Is it not? Sometimes you look at something and be like, I don't think that's a friendly dog. Stay with that is what I tell my investigators. Don't open yourself up. As much as we think it's a child spirit, we don't want to say, oh, I would love you. You could come home with me. No, I said, don't ever do that. Mm-hmm. Don't ever say, well, if you're, you need some energy, take my energy. We don't open ourselves up with that. Keep the what we call the armor of God on you. We all wear, we all have crosses and things like that. Keep that protection up. Keep that distance up. Mm-hmm. So you don't expose yourself to things like that, and see how it goes. Eventually, if it's going to be an evil spirit, something will happen, and you'll know. But I take it toys. I take Emily toys and things like that. But I've never said, "Oh boy, you're great. I would love to take you home with me, or you can come give me a hug." Nothing like that. It's always been, Emily, here's your toy. You can play with that, and just keep your guard up.
Have you ever been in a situation where you felt for a good period of time that this is not evil, this is just something, this is a child, legitimately is a child, and then you found that you were being deceived?
I haven't run into that yet. I do know that some friends of mine have. They've gone to different places, and I've heard stories of things that, like, boy, that wasn't what I thought it was. The attachment will follow them home, and then they'll go through the usual, the nightmares and the sickness and just not feeling well. We haven't had that at this museum yet. And that's one of the first things I tell people when we have guests to come, is that nothing there is evil or demonic. But keep your guards up. And I wouldn't take people to a place to where we suspected it was any type of, danger to them. That's just not what I'm going to do. I wouldn't take them to a haunted asylum or some of these, Eastern State Penitentiary or anything like that. It's not about just making money or anything like that. It's about letting some guests here experience what it's like to ghost hunt and have fun. And one thing that we do with our ghost hunts is we keep them short. So we do what I call mini investigations. We do them from 7:15 till 8:45, and then we'd run another one at 9 o'clock to 10:30. So they're this time of year because it gets dark, and so that works out great. The last thing you want to do is have people sitting around, like if you take people out. I always say it's like fishing, where you can sit in a boat or on a dock or whatever, and you're getting absolutely nothing for an hour and a half, and then all of a sudden you get a couple of bites. You lose your audience. People will get bored. So an hour and a half is just about right. And you'll get a couple things here and there. And I don't guarantee anything, because it's all if the spirits want to interact with us. So we've been fortunate enough that we've always had some kind of interaction with the three locations that we do on this property, which would be the log cabin, the schoolhouse, and the Ben Patterson Inn, which was a tavern in the house I talked about. We've always had, and we rotate through, we've always had enough that people have gone away satisfied with what they had. I don't want them to sit all night, but I'm not going to expose people to an entity that's not what it seems to be. The first time we get something like that, we'll stop doing this at that location. It's not fun. I personally have never had something that's deceived me that I know of yet, but like I said, I do know people that have, and it's not a good feeling, and it's not good for your health, and it's dangerous.
How much does the environment play a role in attracting entities to it? Being a museum of sorts that kind of has this feel of a different place in time, does that increase the odds of things happening or attracting things to a location versus, let's say, a modern art museum, that just doesn't feel anything like another place in time that anyone that is deceased could really relate to?
Yeah, so I think a lot of it has to do with artifacts and the what people would want to be around. I mean, art's great, But someone isn't going to be attached to a painting, I don't believe. Mm-hmm. You know, they would be more attached to maybe the bedroom, the living in the bedroom or the kitchen where they like to cook their meals, or maybe an artifact of a certain museum that people had got, that's a tool that a farmer had used, and now it's in the museum. Things like that. Art, I just, an art gallery, I really can't. It maybe would depend on the type of art that they had, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying something more modern, really, that wouldn't be relatable.
I don't know. Most of the times, the museums that we do are older.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it depends on, you know, what they would be attached to and what they like.
Let me ask you this about your experiences with the paranormal. Sure. And you'd said, you know, earlier in your younger years, you kind of thought you're a bit sensitive. With everything that you've gone through in your life, the passing of your girlfriend, your own battles with cancer, has those experiences increased your level of sensitivity to the other side?
Yes, they have. Because now, again, you know, I've opened myself up more. Because mm-hmm. now I really want to find out. Instead of just going out and saying, oh, yeah, we got a ghost here. I saw something there that was really cool. Now I really want to know more of what it's like to be on the other side instead of just saying I saw a ghost,
mm-hmm.
you know, or saw a chair move. Now I want to know why they moved that chair. Were they trying to get my attention to tell me something? Are they concerned about me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it my girlfriend that passed? Maybe, you know, is she trying to tell me, hey, I'm here. Hello. Look at me, you know, mm-hmm. or communicate with me. Or maybe they know something about my cancer. Maybe because they can see us. Maybe they can see through us and let us know. But now it's more of a, are they trying to tell me something? Now I'm trying to find out more of a different level of ghost hunting instead of just, oh, this place I saw something
sure.
move or sound.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Bill Vockroth. A big thank you to him for joining us on the show today and sharing his thoughts and experiences with us. And a big thank you to you for supporting the program and keeping us on the air. We could not do this without you. Until next time for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts. Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
Raise your hand if you want your nails to look perfect all the time. Me too. I'm Sarah Gibson-Tuttle from Olive & June, and this is exactly why we created the Manny system. We wanted to make it possible for everyone everywhere to give themselves a beautiful manicure at home. With our tools and our long-lasting polish, each manicure with our Manny system comes out to just $2. That's right, $2. No more $30, $40, $50 manis that you get at a salon and they take hours. Now you can paint your nails on your time and love them more than ever. And by the way, when people ask, who did your nails? Where did you get them done? You're going to proudly say, I did them myself. Get 20% off your first Manny system with code DIYNAIL20 at oliveandjune.com/DIYNAIL20. That's code DIYNAIL20 for 20% off at oliveandjune.com/DIYNAIL20.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts. Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts. Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts. Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts. Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts. Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a not knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That's amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts. Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a not knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.